Claire had mentioned earlier, you know, about rare earth and what it is. Basically, it's used in modern electronic gadgets, but whether it's for renewable energy, everything that every all the digital equipments you're using, laptop, iPhone, anything that require digital or electronic technology requires some rare earth. They are known as the vitamins or the spice for the electronic industry. Companies do not need huge amount of rare earth in their production, but they are essential to make modern electronic gadget powerful. And because of these, there is a huge demand for rare earth, particularly when because you know climate change solutions involve the use of high-tech technology like renewable energy, hybrid or electric cars, and so and low energy bulbs and so on and so forth. So the demand for rare earth is expected to rise manifold. And because of these, then you have many companies, both Australian, American, and Canada, and elsewhere, all looking at setting up rare earth processing plant. Now, in specifically, I'd like to share with you the my experience dealing with Lynas Rare Earth. So they mine the rare earth ore from their mine in Mount Weld in a remote part of Western Australia. And then it's trucked on road to the port of Fremantle, which then got loaded onto container and traveling for about 4,000 kilometers from the port of Fremantle to the port of Kuantan. And Kuantan is my hometown. And in 2011, when we first found out about this project from the New York Times magazine, basically locals were not consulted at all. They were not even made aware of this project until it appeared in an article or series of articles in the New York Times magazine. And everyone was very shocked that this world's largest rare earth plant outside of China would be built, and they know nothing about it. They knew about rare earth and its hazards because previously in another state, the Asian Rare Earth, which was partly owned by Japan's Mitsubishi, has left behind radioactive waste and also caused very serious public health problems there with cases of leukemia in children, children born with disability, and so on and so forth. And that plant closed in 1984, and the radioactive waste was entombed in a forest not far from the town. So because of that experience, Malaysians are not keen to have another one. And for them to find out that this is going to be like 50 times bigger than the one in Bukit Merah or in the other state, they were shocked. And of course, it didn't take long before people started to rise up and to campaign against this project. And this is what it is today, about the plant started to operate in 2012. Unfortunately, despite protests and despite, you know, many attempts to try and stop it, the Malaysian government, under the then Najib Razak government, is one that is known and notorious for its international scale financial corruption. And so, you know, a government like that are not likely to be responsive to people's protests, even though 1.2 million people have signed against it. Over 1,000 submissions was had a lodge with the government against the project, but the government issued a temporary operating license in early 2012. Although at that time, the promise was to remove the radioactive waste, which is this reddish waste at the back here, from Malaysia. But that has since changed. And so today you've got this massive amount of waste dumped in the open. And Malaysia, being a tropical rainforest country, rain a lot. And the tropical deluge basically washed much of this waste into the waterways and the natural environment around it. The way Lynas is managing this waste is really a double standard. In Australia, in Western Australia, Lynas is proposing to build a similar plant. Just recently, the Western Australian Environmental Protection Authority has required Lynas to transport both of these waste back to the mine pit to be managed according to radioactive waste management plan. But in Malaysia, this is what you get. Now, the place where the plant is built is actually once a pristine tropical peat land, peat mangrove. It's very close to the South China Sea. It is, it's kind of quite a populated area with traditional Malay fishing villages dotted all along the coast. And the plant is within like 2 to 5 kilometers from the area's most populated center. And the wastewater from the plant is basically discharged directly into the Balog River, which is the river that feeds into the peat mangrove. And the peat mangrove is actually a source of traditional fishing for the people, where people, get their shellfish. And as you know, mangrove is important spawning and breeding grounds for many fish and marine species. But none of that's been taken into consideration when Lynas built its plant. And at the estuary, you see children playing quite happily in this water. And yet, they've been contaminated, but the government has done nothing about it. So Balog mangrove by Malaysian biological diversity standard is actually a very important mangrove area due to the species diversity of flora. Although not a lot of surveys carry out on this mangrove, locals had used it for a long, long time. As I say, for fishing and a whole range of other recreational and also cottage industry. But none of that's been taken into consideration when the plant was set, was built in the upper reach of this mangrove. And only a preliminary EIA or environmental impact assessment was done, and much of the issue have not been covered properly. And also the health impact is not dealt with at all in this case, despite the presence of very long living radioactive materials like thorium, uranium, even rare earths themselves are by no means harmless. Study on the health impact of rare earth is still very recent, but increasingly they're finding problems in China where children exposed to certain type of rare earth are found to have developmental issues, kidney problems, and so on and so forth. So rare earth itself is not harmless, and it needs to be studied more in terms of its health impact and also environmental impact. And despite making a mess, Lynas continue to claim that its operation is totally zero harm. And that is what makes people in Kuantan so angry because they are seeing the waste piling up. And yet this company continue to live in denial, and it's facilitated by the government's own regulators. The regulators have no, firstly, no technical capacity to manage a plant of this size. They do not understand radiation hazard as much. And also there's no political will for them to actually do the right thing, to operate according to their public mandate to protect the health of the environment and the citizen. So, you know, what we get is the regulator singing praises of Lynas just because it's an Australian company, and because Lynas acts and behaves like a real bully. So, you know, given the situation, it is no wonder that Malaysia has Malaysian, particularly the residents of Kuantan and surrounding area, has taken it upon themselves to get organized, and they have protested since 2011. And unfortunately, you know, they are seeing the waste piling up every day. They have a lot of support from amongst themselves, and increasingly, we are looking at USA, where Lynas has managed to get funding from Pentagon to build another rare earth plant in Texas. The reason why Lynas is in Malaysia is because of the hazardous processing, and also because of China domination over this particular mineral. And it is easy to bully a developing country to accept very low standard of safety and so on and so forth. And I'd just like to conclude that, although we know and acknowledge that rare earth elements are critical for low emission green technology and for energy transition to tackle climate change, the supply chain must be clean, just, and fair. And solution to address climate change must not replicate the negative social and environmental impacts of fossil fuel supply chain. And thank you very much. That's all I've got to say.